Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. We're going to be going back to Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6. If you want to mark those places, if you have three ribbons or bookmarks, you can mark them and we'll get to them a little bit. I'll also be reading from Matthew chapter 1. We start with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. By the way, I know I mentioned at 9 o'clock, I'm not sure if I mentioned 10:30. On Easter, we've done this a few years where if you'd like to donate an Easter lily in honor of someone or in remembrance of someone, we put a little card on it. You're welcome to do that, and we set them here around the front. But just let us know. If you want to bring them in, buy them your own, that's fine, or you want us to get them, just let us know, and we'll take care of that. Verse 31, by faith, there's those words again, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. It's a bit of a continuation from the walls of Jericho, because she lived on the wall of Jericho. Spies went in, there were two of them. They looked in the city and they found out that they were there. She hid them and then sent them out, but made a commitment to them. We see an interesting story about a woman of great faith that you'd be least likely to think she would be one that would have great faith. Perhaps the king or the leaders or people who are well-educated, maybe they would be the ones to respond. But no, someone, a fallen woman in the city, that responded in faith. She believed the reports that she had heard. So we see a testimony of the grace of God to fallen people, that you don't have to be a person of means, you don't have to have a pedigree or a genealogy that goes back of all these great Christians. Here's someone that didn't have that background, came from obviously a questioned or a checkered background. And yet God has put her in Hebrews 11 as a remembrance for us today. Here was a woman of faith. She believed what she had heard about God. She believed the words that were spoken to her when the rest of the city heard but did not believe in God. They heard and feared. So we see the grace of God. And I want to go to Matthew to give a little background. Matthew chapter 1. We have the genealogy of our Lord, and the names are all listed there. It's easy to read through. When you read through your Bible, you just read through that because it has all these names. But it is significant to see there were four women mentioned in the genealogy of our Savior. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas, or Judah, and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Now that's the first woman that's mentioned, is Tamar. And Perez begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson. Nahson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. This is the same Rahab that we're reading about that had great faith. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. We know that to be Bathsheba. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abia, and I'm not going to go through all the rest of it, but we go all the way down till we see verse 16, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The genealogy then follows all these people all the way to the person of Christ, and it helps us to understand that not just anybody could be the Christ. They had to be of the seed of Abraham, the seed of David. They had to be on the throne of David. He had to be from the descendancy of David. But we see four women mentioned: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. Of those four women, we know, going all the way back to Tamar, that she had a child from her father-in-law because the son that she had married died. He was a wicked man. And his mother was a Canaanite woman. So it's interesting that Judah would marry a Canaanite woman and then give birth to two sons that were wicked and yet marry someone that would be in the genealogy of our Lord. So we see the grace of God that their names would be mentioned here. And then we see Rahab. Whenever they go into the city, there were two spies sent in. Their names are not given. And I just wonder if one of them wasn't Salmon, who first met her. It doesn't say that. That's just conjecture. But ultimately, she marries a Jewish man. Here she is, a Canaanite woman, marries a Jewish man. And from Rahab, they gave birth to Boaz, who then takes Ruth, a Moabitess, to wife. That sounds like The Stomach Churns or something, or one of those soap operas. All these different dynamics of people coming together and getting married. But Boaz would be from Rahab, and who married Ruth. Ruth was the grandmother of David, who married Bathsheba. And my wife pointed out tonight that it says the wife of Uriah, it doesn't mention her name, but it mentions, we know who it is, but to think he was a just man and unfairly treated, and his name is in there as well. So we see something interesting. When you go to Ruth chapter 4, it says Salmon begat Boaz, Boaz begat Obed, Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So I guess that would make Ruth the great-grandmother of David. We see then there is a descendancy of that genealogy that has an element of grace sprinkled in with it. We see that someone from a difficult background can have faith. You don't have to be righteous. You don't have to be good. It's not by your deeds, but by your faith and belief in God, in the Son of God. So God can work in the lives of people from any past. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. Could be in prison. Could be a thief, a drunkard, an alcoholic, fallen person. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter whether your parents were Christian or not. By the grace of God, anyone who believes. Bobby in 9 o'clock quoted John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that, what's the next word? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That word whosoever is a great word. I'm glad that's in there. That whosoever means you or me or anyone. So the key and the element is whosoever. It so happens we know that Rahab believed. She heard the report and believed. She believed that Jehovah was the true God, that the Jews had the one true God. Now, they believed in idols. They had many gods. People back then, by and large, I don't believe were atheists. They were polytheists. They had many gods, maybe even hundreds of gods. But they were not godless. Their gods were of wood and stone, and they could not answer. And compared to what she heard and what she knew about her own gods, she believed the report, they have the true God. Right. Now, it's hard to figure out why some people believe the gospel and others reject it. It's hard to comprehend. She believed what she heard, and it had an effect on her life. She heard the works of God. Now go back to Joshua chapter 2. Starting in verse 9, Joshua 2 and verse 9. So the two spies come in, they entered her house. We're not sure how they contacted her or how that all happened, but we know they were there. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Think about that statement before we read the rest of it. How did she know that? It was by faith. This is the point made about Rahab. By faith, she believed that report. God worked in her heart. She understood what she knew and believed it. She said, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. That was 40 years ago. She wasn't even born then. So the word about what they had done had been carried on and repeated through another generation. We've heard, verse 10, how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Now, why would that be? I mean, they were fortified. They were men of war. They had mighty men. They no doubt have been trained warriors. Here's the answer. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. They knew he was the real God. They knew that made the difference. God made the difference. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She believed what they were going to do, believed it was going to happen. She believed in their God, and enough so that she asked for help and asked for grace among those Jews as they came in. She knew it was going to happen, then she sought grace. So God gave grace to this woman and her family and their families. I don't know how many there were, but it seems there were several that were spared because they were all in that house. So we understand God worked in this woman's life. She believed what she saw. She stepped out in faith and followed what God had revealed to her. Again, faith is just acting on God's word. When you know what God tells you to do, you just do it. She acted on faith. It says, go back to Hebrews 11:31. Says, and by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She perished not, but the others did perish. She heard, and they heard. She believed, they didn't believe. Someday in this old world, there's going to be a minority of people. There's going to be those that went down the straight and narrow path. They're the ones that go to heaven. And there's going to be a broad path, and many that go in thereat that do not know the Lord. That day's a coming. They think it's not. They're not worried about it. Today we live in a society, people have humanistic gods, but they don't believe in God. They just don't think about it. Everything is materialism. Humanism is the fastest growing religion in America, and that is self-effort, simply the Gnosticism of many years ago. She acted on faith. She heard. She believed. The real question is, what do we hear and what do we believe? Do we believe what God said? I think that's sometimes our problem. We just, can God really do that? You know, Sarah laughed. Oh, I can't have a child my age. That's impossible. And we go through scripture. We find again and again. Moses said, how can I lead the children of Israel out? Well, he was prepared from birth. God had a plan for him, but it was hard for him to believe that could happen. Do we believe what God can do in and through us? D.L. Moody once said, God is yet to see what the world can do through a man totally yielded and surrendered to him. And by God's grace, I'll be that man. That's what he said. Well, God did use him. I don't know if he was that man or not, but wow, God used him to touch two continents. And God will use a person surrendered and yielded to him. This woman is mentioned in the lineage of our Savior. mentioned in Hebrews 11 for a reason. James mentions her also. It says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? She acted on her faith. She was not saved by works, but she acted on her faith. She did something about it. And you wonder, did she even seek out those men, recognize who they were? Maybe she anticipated they would come. But she's the one that protected them, and she's the one that was saved when all the others did not believe. She was justified by her faith. Back in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua 2 and verse 18. Says, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou dost let us down by. So when they escaped, she had a rope made out of scarlet thread, and that they shimmied down the wall. Probably, I would guess, 30 feet high. You know, it was very high. Then they went down this rope or thread or scarlet. So they had this red cloth. That's how they escape. And it's interesting, they said, now when we come back, I want you to make sure you leave that in the window. It says, thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this, our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now what I think happened, she let them down with that scarlet thread or rope, and then she made sure that it wouldn't fall out, right, made sure it was secured, and left it there until after they started marching around the city, and after they went 6 days, and after they went the seventh day seven times. She made sure, I'll bet you every morning she got up, she checked, is that thread still there? I want to make sure that's there. That's our lifeline. Now, why would it be scarlet? Why would it be red? Because when you go back to the Passover, for them to be spared, they needed the blood on the doorpost. And if there's, without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And it was a picture of the redemption of God, a picture of the grace of God. Therefore, she made sure that was there. She was trusting in that red scarlet thread so that when they came, they would see, they would know, that's the one. And I'll tell you, when the Lord comes back at the rapture, He's going to see the blood of Christ that has been appropriated in our lives, and our sin is covered by His blood. He'll figure that out. He'll know those that are His. And when He takes people up to heaven in the rapture, He'll have it all figured out. And if you're saved and know the Lord, you'll go with them. Right. He'll see it. He'll recognize it. Your colors be clear. Then we see, not only did she act on her faith, put this scarlet thread out, but we see how God protected her and her family. I don't know what she said to her family, but they evidently believed. Now, why would they believe someone like that, a harlot from Jericho? There may have been a change in her life already. They said, something's happened to Rahab. I'm not sure what it is, but something has happened. And we realize what has happened to her can happen to us, and we want what she has. They could have easily said, we're not interested. You're crazy. We don't want a part of this. We see others in the Bible that someone had a chance to be saved and they weren't interested. The prodigal son, you know, somebody preached the message, two lost sons. That was the title of their message, the two prodigals. Because the elder son was no better than the one that rebelled and was a prodigal. He was justified by his works, not by faith. Well, there are people that hear the same message, sit in the same pews, hear the same preaching, have the same opportunity. Some take advantage of it and believe, and some don't. Some in their own family turn away. They want no part of it. For some reason, there are many in her family, father, mother, sisters, family, brother, all those children, perhaps that were with them. They all gathered together. She already had had an impact on their life. No wonder she's mentioned in Hebrews 11 by faith. Here was a woman that her life was changed, and she began living by faith. In Joshua chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6, verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them with the camp, without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. What an amazing story, the grace of God, that would change a person's life to such an extent they would be known, on one hand, as a harlot of Jericho, and then on the other hand, as a woman of faith that would be in the lineage of our Savior Jesus Christ. Only God can reveal his grace in such a magnificent way. And of all four of these women, we see the grace of God that any one of them would be listed and named, because they're all men that are listed in the genealogy, yet each one are listed. Whenever we think, well, nobody's listening to me, remember, someday you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and we see a term in the Bible, there can be judgment unto the third and fourth generation, but there can be blessing unto the third and fourth generation too. What we do matters. It matters to our family, our children. It matters to our neighbors. It matters to our church. It matters to people whom we meet. Our testimony is important. What a gracious testimony, a woman of faith. Someone that you'd be surprised. Someone that would be least likely. You never know who you witness to who might respond. Whenever Billy Sunday walked into the Pacific Guard mission, no one had many hopes for him. And yet, God saved him and used him as one of the great evangelists of America. Right. You know, you can go down the list of people whom God took out of the dregs of hell. John Newton was one of the most wicked men you could ever imagine, the face of the earth. And yet, God saved him by his grace, used him in a marvelous way. That's one of the things that God does. Now, if you grow up in a Christian home, you grow up in a Christian church, school, you're surrounded by Christian people, and you live for the Lord, you might think, well, I don't have any testimony. Well, you know what your testimony is? The grace of God that you didn't have to go through what all these other people went through. Thank God that you are where you are doing what you're doing. Don't take that for granted. That's a blessing, and that is the grace of God. But we see it in both ways, that he can take someone fallen, someone certainly not living a holy or a good life, he can save them and use them in a great, marvelous way. It's by faith. Faith is obedience to the Word of God. When we know what it says, we just do it. Whatever you know the Bible says, do it. Does God lead you? Obey what God tells you to do. And when you stop doing that, that's when we get out of trouble and we are in danger for our Christian life and our Christian testimony. So let us walk by faith. Let's bow for prayer tonight.